today on Real Radio.
Jesus is risen from the dead. The tomb is empty and Christ is alive. And because that's true, when you breathe your last, if you trust him, if you breathe your last in this world, you will breathe your next in the presence of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Died, Part 2, continues in the book of Luke chapter 24 in verses 1 through 12, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a remarkable event, from the cross to an empty tomb. Jesus conquered death so that we might have life. The Apostle Paul, concerning the resurrection, was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to bring salvation for everyone who believes. And that power which raised Jesus from the dead, God will place in our lives. When God died on the cross through Jesus, he upset the power of the grave. Death can no longer keep us in the ground. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus is the author of eternal life. He died to restore hope to mankind. The world lives in fear of death, but if your trust is in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be intimidated. For God became flesh and blood to break that power of death. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
In John 17, 21, this is what Jesus was saying to his father. And I want you to listen carefully, because he's talking about you. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I get that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, Father, I want them in with us. Wow. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. The glory is the promise of eternal life. That they may be one just as we are one. Skip down to verse 24. Father, I desire. Church family, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus talks to his father and he says, Father, this is what I want. That they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. That's the word of God. That's the Bible. That's Jesus speaking. What do you think about that? Well, whatever. I don't know. Really? You better know. The Bible tells us that while we're living, now's the time to make that decision for him or against him. Did you know that? You can't make the decision after you draw your last breath. The Bible's very clear on that. Now's the time of deciding. God keeps his promises. He's the promise keeper, and he wants you to lay all of your weight upon him because he'll honor that. The same God promised that he'd come back for the church someday in the future. He'd come back for the church unexpectedly, without warning, while people are living, while people are about their normal business. The Bible says there's going to be a trumpet blast. No one's going to hear it but the believer. And in an instant, they're going to vanish from the face of the earth. I mean, this is the stuff that movies are made of. Where did they get the idea? The Bible says this. Could you imagine? What if it happened today? I don't think it's gonna. Well, what if it did? How cool is that? Where will you be? Are you waiting for him now? I'm waiting for him now. This is a long day. First service was at 6, 8. Is this the 10 o'clock service? I'm losing my mind. There's another one following later, right? Hey, I'm all for it happening right now. If the trumpet blew, would you be going up or would you be watching us? Would we say, adios? Where would you go? You're to decide that now. You're to be looking for him now. Why? Because he keeps his promises. And Jesus said, John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. By the way, for the believer, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, it causes us to look up more. Don't worry. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, Lord, come today. Number 6, he died to rise, making us his own. He wants us to be his very own, and he does this by his resurrection power. We don't need to spend much time on this other to say or to announce it this way. You might say today, as a critic, which is good, What does Jesus get out of this? If all of this is true, and he laid down his life for us to get us into heaven, what does he get out of it? The answer is quite amazing. It's found in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. And that messianic psalm, which is a conversation between God and the Messiah about the future, God says this, I will give you the heathen, the nations, as your reward, as your inheritance. That's important to God. That's important to Jesus. Can you imagine? God says, I want you with me. Now, here's the deal. Remember, he died on the cross for you personally. He doesn't do group salvation tactics. He's your personal Lord and Savior. This is something you decide personally on his offer. And he says to you today, I want you with me. You say, Jack, no one's ever wanted me before. Well, guess what? The one who matters wants you. Nobody's ever wanted me. No one's ever loved me. So what if it's true? He loves you and he wants you. I've never fit in. You'll fit in heaven. This is theologically true. It's hard to believe. I must admit, this is really hard to believe, but it's pure theology. If Adam and Eve would have had only you as a child, Jesus Christ would have died on the cross for you. That is a theological fact. It's hard to believe because, you know, kind of like Costco, if I'm going to pay, I want a lot. Well, if I'm going to go to the cross, I want a lot of people. No, not God. He doesn't think like that. His love is unexplainable. He goes to the cross for one or for a million. The response is yours to make. He wants you with him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, listen, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you, dwell inside you forever. Verse 17 tells you who that is. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. If you're not a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And you can't receive the Holy Spirit until you open up your heart and your mind to him. Because the world neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you. God inside of you, he makes you his own. There's nothing like that in all the world. I can't prove that to you scientifically. It transcends that. If you want science, study the resurrection. If you want science, study the doctrines of God. But at some point, it leaves the pages of the book and it enters inside of you and the truth is birthed inside of you and there's nothing. If people came and they said, deny Jesus or else you die, you got to say, listen, you got to do what you got to do. I can't deny the fact he is in me. Jesus said he'll be with you and he'll never leave you. Number 7, the gifting of salvation. Jesus died to rise, gifting salvation to us. It's a gift. It's a gift. Somebody might say, well, you know, that may be a gift, but I don't know. Watch out, son. My dad told me, watch out, son. Anybody peddling something for free? Nothing's free. You ever hear that? Nothing's free in life. And then you read the Bible and you find out, my dad was right to a degree. Salvation is to our benefit, but in a sense, it's not free. It is a gift, but it costs God everything. Somebody paid. There's nothing fair about salvation. The innocent pays the price for the guilty. Isn't that remarkable? And it's a gift. It costs God everything. And because he paid for it, it's up to him to issue that gift. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Verse 5, that even though, listen, we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And listen, you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done, so none of us can boast about it. It's a gift given. Whenever you love someone, you give them gifts, right? And you pay for it. Love pays. Let God be God. Let God love you. Stop making it so difficult. God loves you, and he paid the price so you could go to heaven. What's wrong with that? Stop arguing with God. Enjoy it. Receive him and celebrate. And walk in the boldness of that. Number 8, he died to rise, presenting himself to us. Jesus presents himself to us. I'm convinced of this. Every person who will honestly, sincerely ask God, if you were to say, God, show yourself to me, confirm to me, God, I'm open. I don't believe in you, but I have doubts. I'm confused about this, that, and the other. But if you're God, if you're there, reveal yourself to me. God will answer your honest, searching heart. He will. God will present himself to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 is an amazing declaration. Ephesians 3, 17, it says, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, listen, in love, may be able to comprehend, this is almost funny, watch this, that you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of God and Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is one pregnant statement of remarkable fact. Paul is saying to the Ephesians, I want you to begin to try to comprehend 4 key things about the characteristics of God's love. And oh, by the way, it's going to take you the rest of your life. And then once you enter eternity, it's going to take all forever to learn it. What is that? The magnitude of God's love. Look at this. Think of this for a moment. The width, the length, the depth, the height of his love. Why is he saying this? Because he knew. Paul knew about this. Paul was a Christian killer before he came to Christ. He was responsible for having other people in prison beat and torture Christians. By the way, does this sound, it's 21st century, here we are talking about a guy who was torturing Christians just outside of Damascus in Syria. Sounds like CNN today with ISIS, doesn't it? Hey, what if there's an ISIS warrior running around the desert right now doing those things? Can God save him? Yes. We pray for that on Wednesday nights, don't we? We gather together and pray that God would save these crazies running around. You say, Jack, I don't buy that. You mean God will save a murderer? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So let me ask you, how wide is wide to God? How wide is that? Well, how long is long to God? What's the length? Can you run around this globe so far away that you can outrun the love of God? Can you go so far in another direction that you exhaust the width of God's love? I wish Jonah was here right now to tell us how that goes. He thought his days were, he thought he had finally accomplished suicide when he got swallowed by that great fish, and he's in the belly of that great fish, and God says, what are you doing in here? He was trying to run from God. Maybe you're trying to run from God. And what about the depth? How deep can you go? There's an old saying that sometimes you have to get flat on your back before you look up. That's a good saying. It's true. But how deep? You see, Pastor, I'm such a bad sinner. I'm so wicked. I've been such a wretch in my life. There's no way. Oh, listen, stop flattering yourself. Listen, Jesus' blood can take care of that. Here's the issue. Will you come to him? Will you get up and run to Jesus? And the height. How high can you go where God is not? How can you escape his love? How high can you go? Space? God is there. He's there. And I applied what these 4 words suggest. I applied it to this. If you are having a hard time embracing the forgiveness and the grace of God, I thought about this man who maybe, I don't know, hypothetically, I don't know. But what about the Roman guards who whipped Jesus this last week in history? They laid his back wide open with the Roman flagellum, wicked tool of torture. They ripped his back open. You could see bone, cartilage. Historians tell us you would see portions of the lung and the vitals when they were done whipping. When they did that to Jesus, what happened to those men? We don't know. What happened to those men after today and just a few days later when they had heard that Jesus rose again from the dead? Do you think they ever thought, oh my gosh, the one we beat the other day, he's risen from the dead? What if time went on and they heard the gospel? What if time went on and some of their family got saved? What if they got saved themselves? What did they have to overcome? They had to overcome the fact, how great is God's love to conquer out my sin? I thought about this. I thought about the Pharisees who were responsible for ordering the death of Jesus. What if they woke up to the reality later? Well, imagine the guilt they carried when Jesus rose again from the dead. God will forgive you. Wow, and I thought about the centurion who literally nailed Jesus to the cross. What about him? What was in his mind? And Jesus says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, that's the qualifier, are you a whoever, would not perish but have everlasting life. Next, we're almost done. He died to rise and he desires you. He desires you. He presents himself and he desires you. Jesus rose again from the dead and he desires you to be with him. Throughout the Gospels, time doesn't allow us. But when you read the Bible will say, and Jesus, having come to a certain village, saw a certain man. That doesn't always happen in the Bible, but it will say Jesus saw a certain man. And it says that Jesus opened that man's eyes. He was blind. The Bible says Jesus came to a man who was crippled and he had no strength in his legs and he was begging all of his life. And the Bible says that Jesus healed him, a certain man. The Bible says that Jesus, listen, on his way to Jerusalem from Galilee, Jews never go through Samaria. It's forbidden. Jews don't go through Samaria. It's off limits. Guess what Jesus said? Guess what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus, it was necessary for him to make his way into Samaria. Why? Because the Bible says there was a certain woman there. There was a divine appointment on the agenda that day. And the Bible says that Jesus went there and his disciples went to the store to get some food. And Jesus is all alone standing at Jacob's well. And a woman came. And she was a Samaritan. That's a half-breed, half Hebrew, half Babylonian. And Jesus said to her, can I have some water? And she says, oh, but you're a Jew. How is it you're talking to me, a Samaritan? And she's, read it, she's kind of flirting with him. Can you imagine flirting with God, not knowing who he is? He says, I tell you what, why don't you go get your husband and have him come out here and talk? And she goes, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, that's right. You've had five husbands and you're living with a man right now. And she goes, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And he gives her the gospel and she becomes a believer. Isn't he awesome? Would you respond to that kind of love? What would you do in response to that kind of love? He wants you. Jesus took into glory the thief on the cross. He wanted him. Jesus took Nicodemus. He wanted him. Heaven's a long time, friends. And Jesus wants you there, which ends with this. Because Jesus came, did what he did, said what he said, died the way he died, and rose again from the grave. Listen, I don't know how else to put this to you. If I could beg you, I would, but then that would be wrong. I would be sinning. If I could put on some show to provoke you, that would be wrong. But did you know, listen, Jesus Christ, here's the punchline to this resurrection day, is that what's required of you is a decision. The Bible tells us, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ, he says, if you acknowledge me before people, listen, you're going to hate this part. It's going to be uncomfortable for you. It's supposed to be. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before people that I'm your Lord and Savior, then on that day of judgment, I will acknowledge you to my Father. In other words, you're going to stand before God. You're going to stand up there and Jesus is going to step right in between you and the Father. And he's going to say, Father, Jack is mine. It belongs to me. He's good. And he's going to lead me over to the ice cream section or whatever. But the Bible's very clear. That has to happen on this side of eternity. The moment you breathe your last here and now, drop dead of a heart attack, get hit by a truck, or the rapture takes place and you're left, you need to decide now. The Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die and then comes their judgment. But the Bible says to those who trust in Christ, they pass from judgment to life. The decision's yours. God requires a decision from you. And everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. Everyone in the Bible that Jesus invited, they came, they went public. And today's the day for you to go public. I would beg you, I'd stand on my head if that would get you forward, but then that's manipulation and it's wrong. Do you believe you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ is God who died on the cross and rose again from the dead for your justification? Do you believe that by no good works can you enter the kingdom of heaven, but by Christ, putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone? That there's nothing that you could have done that would prevent him from saving you? You cannot sin so great that now, being here today, that you are somehow exempt from his blood. You come with guilt and shame if need be. The issue is, will you come? And soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. He's coming, and you will have remembered this day, that on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, Christ changed my life forever. I'm going to ask you to think about that and to make a decision. It may be that some of you are even in this room, and you would say of yourself, I believe in God, but nobody knows it. It's not enough to believe in God. 88% of Americans believe in God. And look at the condition our nation's in. Jesus said you must be born again to come to heaven, to have him in you. Are you ready to have him in you? Are you ready to have this debate in your mind settled forever? No more wondering. You're going to get a little nervous right now. You're going to feel some anxiety in your midsection, in your stomach, chest area, and you're going to start having a battle in your mind about should you do this or not. If that's you today, guess who's speaking to you? It will be the Holy Spirit. Tragically, there may be somebody here today that's just like, are you done yet? Come on, let's go. Whatever, let's get out of here. They can't hear any of this. But if you today are being called by God, you're going to have a little tornado start to take place in your soul. I highly recommend you listen to God. Oh, and here's a tip. You'll hear your voice in your head. But the sentence, the structure, and the words, they're not you. Because what you are about to hear inside your heart, inside your head, you would never say to yourself. But why would God use our voice? Because I think sometimes we're the only ones we'll listen to. Father, we come, Lord, now to you. And we ask, Father God, for this one reason only. That the reward of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross are the nations, the ethnos, the people. And we pray, Lord, that some of those people might be here today. People who would say, I'm done. I am done. I am done putting on a show. I'm done living my thing. I'm done being in doubt. I'm done being scared. I'm done not knowing. I want to have death defeated in my life. I want to live for God. And I understand today, Pastor, that to do that, I need to acknowledge that I'm a sinner and God is the Savior, that Jesus died in my place. I was supposed to go to the cross, but he went there for me. And I don't want to be in the grave. I don't want to be lost in the darkness. I want the light of the love of God. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to stand for Jesus publicly, that in that day of judgment, Christ will stand for me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Died. Thanks for listening today, and God's promises, they never fail. He set us free so we can live forever in heaven with him. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you want to get hold of a pastor maybe to talk through it and find out, you know, what to do next, why don't you give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Make sure to give us a call, get in touch with us, so we can help you get pointed in the right direction. Now, as you know, the content for Real Radio was preached from the pulpit by Pastor Jack. Quite frankly, because of time restraints, we simply can't get everything into the radio program that we would love for you to hear. So here's what you can do. Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can pick up the entire week of Easter messages, the entire Easter messages, as taught from the pulpit by Pastor Jack, with no interruptions, no edits, no commercial interruptions at all. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get the messages on MP3 CD and listen to them. Make them a part of your life and share them with folks that you love. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.